Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Friends.
Hey, as we begin, could we do something that we don't normally do? Could you, out of respect for God's word, if you could stand for me, not for me, but for the word, would you mind stand? I want to read a passage as we get started. I know it's a little stand up, sit down, fight, but I want to read a passage. This is Romans 12. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and it's going to kind of frame our time here this week. The Apostle Paul, Romans 12, 1, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, his good, perfect, and acceptable will. For through the grace given to me, I say to you that everyone should not think more highly of himself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Amen. Let's have a seat. I'd like to do something, if I can, maybe this week, that I think might be impossible, but I'm going to try it anyway. It might be a futile effort, but I'd like to see if we can't redefine a term. I'd like to talk a little bit about membership. Now, when you say membership, words carry meaning and sometimes evoke emotion and sometimes bring back memories, some of which are good and some of which are bad. When I was in college, I was a member of a fraternity. I remember what that was like, at least most of it. But it was, it carried with it privilege. It had certain access to secret things that I could tell you about, but then I'd have to kill you. There was a certain access to information. There was certain perks associated with it. It had a sense of privilege associated. I remember, talking to guys or gals who've been members of country clubs, and membership means something. You invest a premium into this organization, this club, and in so doing, there's a sense of entitlement, a sense of expectation that it won't be too crowded, and there'll be a certain decorum and acceptable attire. There's sort of this sense of, because I'm a member, I'm going to be treated a certain way, and I'm kind of paying for that. Like, that's kind of part of the deal. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it clearly defines who's in and who's out. I don't know if you've ever tried to go golf as a non-member at an exclusive members-only club. It's a very short walk from your car to the clubhouse and the clubhouse back to the car, because if you're not a member, you're not in. Now, that's fine in some cases, but I want you to play that out now in the context of a local church, and it gets a little weird. Would you agree? The idea of membership like that, where membership in the context of a religious organization gains you some sort of privilege or special access, some sort of VIP parking, some sort of treatment that would assume that you are in and others are out, as if there's some sort of perk of being a member of a church. Now, I struggle with that a little bit because, I'm probably like many of you. When you say church membership, for many of you, it brings back the rash. You start breaking out in hives, You mention church membership and people like the tick returns. Because for a lot of folks, when it comes to the church, you've just had a bad experience. Because membership was used as an issue of control and power. But the issue became something the Bible never intended it to be. I mean, there's no getting around, by the way, church history is stained by abuses of power, just marked by the church, instead of holding fast to the word of God, takes a concept or an idea and just plusses it. and says, well, let's talk about membership. And so what membership became sort of to mean within the context of a local church was this idea of power, control, this idea of man-made religious hoops that people were expected to jump through, these extra biblical rites of passage that were created that gave you access to certain levels of religious enlightenment or religious participation, none of which are biblical. And the concern I have is now when we, in our day, try to stay faithful to the Word of God and talk about what it means to be a member of a local body, we immediately assume that definition of membership instead of this definition of membership. And yet there's no getting around in the Scriptures. The Bible talks about, in this passage we started with already here this week, it talks about what it means to be a member of this thing called the body of Christ. So what does the Bible say? And the reason I say this may be impossible is if you have had a bad experience, I had a bad experience with membership, it's very difficult to reset that because it just got weird and you bounced. And so how do we then come at this and say, how do we allow the Scriptures to reframe something that I think is precious and essential to this idea of what it means to be believers together? And yet has been hijacked in so many ways. Now, if you've been with us for a number of months, back in January, we introduced this concept because I was wrestling with it. I have been a never member guy for a long, long time because I didn't like the way it had been abused by those who had taken it and made it something Scripture never intended. But the more I was wrestling with Scripture and the more I was really wrestling with what it means to be an elder and what it means to be a faithful pastor, I was struggling because it's very difficult to elder. An elder is called in 1 Peter 5 to exercise oversight over the flock of God, shepherding the flock of God. It's difficult to exercise oversight and feel like you're being responsible to God if you have no idea who you're responsible for, right? It's very difficult as a pastoral staff to know, like, who are the people that I'm a part of doing life with? Who are the people I'm discipling? Who are the people I'm caring for? Because if the average person that attends our church attends once every 3 weeks, and let's say there's 3,500 people that are coming, I'm not real good at math, but that's a lot of people. If you add them all together, that's a lot of hospital visits, that's a lot of calls. Like, how do we care for appropriately the body? We begin to struggle with that. And so what was sort of driving us is a heart that we want to care better. We want to shepherd better. Not just we as a staff, but we as a church, we want to lead better. We want to walk with you better. We want to enter into life with the body better, which means it would be really helpful to know who the body actually is. Well, as you look at this Romans passage, I want to just talk about verses 1-5 a little bit. If you're familiar with the book of Romans, like most of Paul's epistles, there's two portions. There's kind of a theological portion, 1-11. And then in 12-16, it shifts gears to a little bit more application. Think of it more like 1-11 is orthodoxy, 12-16, orthopraxy. 1-11 is belief, 12-16 is behavior. If you'll notice in chapter 12, verse 1, Paul starts this section by saying, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Therefore, he's pivoting from what he's been talking about for 11 chapters. Which, by the way, if you ever want to learn really sound theology, study the book of Romans. It is absolutely gold standard theological awesome. And he gets now to the end of chapter 11 and having dropped the final theological mic, transitions and says, based on what I've told you now, on the compassion or mercy of God who sovereignly sought you and found you and breathed life into you and saved you and sustained you and freed you and called you and on and on and on, what is your response to what God has already done? And he says that I urge you based on his mercy or compassion that you present yourself to him as a holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That's your spiritual service of worship. I would translate that, that's the least you can do. Based on what God has done for you, like the least we can do is just offer ourselves to him in return. And then he says in verse 2, and to not be conformed any longer. Literally, don't be shoved any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, in verses 1 and 2, it is still very personal and individual. There hasn't been anything about us. It's more about singular, right? But notice it begins now to shift gears a little bit in verse 3. It says, through the grace that was given to me, I say to you that everyone should not think more highly of themselves or herself than you ought. See, part and parcel to the Christian faith is humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you at the proper time. Paul is challenging his readers that as they have enjoyed the mercies of God and are now individually responding and offering themselves in worship to God as a living sacrifice, it's not a solo sport. It's not an individual who came to faith in isolation, grew in isolation, walks with Jesus in isolation, and that's what their faith is about. At some point, a Christian's life becomes plural. That it's no longer you, it's we. It's not I, but us. The body of Christ, the church, the gathering of believers is the plan of God for ongoing sanctification. But to be a part of a local church doesn't simply mean attending. We live in such a culture of isolation and individualism that many actually believe they came to faith in Christ, they attend a church, they don't know anyone, they don't serve anywhere, they're not in a community of any sort, they just show up, they hear a couple messages, you know, throughout the months, and that's good. And I'm going, okay, that's better, but that's not God's intent. God's intent is that there would be this sense of recognition that as I interact with other people, I shouldn't consider myself more highly than I ought, but instead I should humble myself because we are in this together. We are the church. We are the body. Notice in verse 4, he says, for just as we have many members, and in one body all the members don't have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, an individual what? What's your Bible say? You can say it. Like, I know there's a little apprehension, but you could say it. Individual members of one another. But see, we have to redefine the term. Because if individual members of the body means title, privilege, and a reserved parking spot, we just got weird again. That's not what it says. That's not what it intends, at least. But instead, it means that we are part of a larger whole, that we as individuals are saved by the grace of God individually. We individually profess faith in Christ. We individually are made new and positionally made right. We individually are beginning to be sanctified. But that process of ongoing sanctification needs to include all of us because you make me better. And Lord willing, I make you better. You make me more like Jesus. And hopefully I do as well. And it's the interaction of the body that makes what we're doing so stinking unique. Because it's we, and it's us, and it's together. But he uses the term body. Now, when I was in college, I took anatomy physiology. I had the privilege of taking it twice, in fact. It was quite an honor. Once I took it as a non-believer, and then I messed around and got saved and then took it as a believer and got an A because I was fascinated. Like, look what God did. Like, take, for example, the ear. I mean, think about the inner workings of this part of your body, some of ours bigger than others, but just the ears. So you've got this outer ear that captures sound waves. Waves, literally, when I make a noise like that, it's positive and negative pressure waving through the air, and your ears pick it up and funnel that sound wave into your ear. And that high pressure and low pressure makes its way from the outer ear into the inner ear, which contains your ear drum. And much like a bongo drum, those sound waves hit that little flap of skin called an eardrum and make it vibrate. And as it vibrates, those vibrations continue now down into the ear, down into what's called these three bones that are called the ossicles. Remember those? The ossicles are the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. Yes, I Googled it. Don't judge me. And these sound waves go through the eardrum, through these tiny bones called the ossicles, and end up in what's called the cochlea. Now, the cochlea is that little seashell-looking thing that's in your ear. It's full of fluid. And so these vibrations, these sound waves, go through the eardrum, through these little bones, into now the cochlea, and cause little waves to happen inside the cochlea of your inner ear. And those waves of fluid that are in your inner ear have little nerve, like little hairs on them, that interpret the waves and go, oh, that's a sound, and send a signal, a nerve signal, up into your brain that has the ability, just like that, to translate, oh, that's a sound that the brain interprets that came from the fluid moving and the cochlea and the nerves that are there that came through these three tiny little bones that are smaller than a dime that came through your eardrum, through or from your outer ear that funneled the noise in, and you just pick it up. That's fantastic. God made that. That's not an oops or an accident. Like, that is the body being awesome. And that's just the ear. I mean, we could geek out on all kinds of other physiological systems. But those three tiny little bones that are smaller than a dime, if any of those are missing, you can't hear. If you've ever punctured your eardrum, you've got a problem. If you've ever had to have your cochlea removed, you've got a problem. These intricate systems are designed to work together, preordained by God to work together. They need each other in order to hear. And if any one of those systems are down, the system itself is down. And Paul says we are individual members of a body. Jesus being the head, but I think it's interesting, he invites us into that metaphor of being a body, each individual members with our own preordained designed function within the body, designed like those three tiny bones in the ear to serve a specific function, that if any of those decide that they're not coming to church today, or if any of those decide that they're only gonna come once every 3 weeks, or if any of those decide that they're just gonna attend, show up and leave, but aren't an active part of the body can't function right. See, we need each other to be part of the body. Turn just for a second to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, same author, different church, different city. 1 Corinthians 12, start at verse 12. Fascinating. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, Paul, using the similar metaphor, says, even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew, Greek, from Fresno, Clovis, rich, poor, regardless of ethnicity, whether you sell plumbing supplies or expensive homes, whether you teach or whether you're a student, that's in the Greek, they're all made to drink, he says, of one Spirit. He says, for the body is not one member, but many. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, regardless of who you are, where you've come from, welcome to the well. You're part of the body. You've got a role to play here. You're part of a larger family. And then he goes on in verse 15. He says, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. He says, and if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. For the whole body, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? It says, verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. So when we say members, active members of a church, please don't think country club. Please don't think my fraternity. Those are different paradigms. I'm not saying those are bad. I'm saying those have no business inside the local church. It's a different use of the word. We're not talking about member as in privilege and prestige. We're talking about member as in I understand my role and I'm doing what God has called me to do within the larger body. Because God has called me together as a follower of Jesus to be a part of something that Jesus is the head of and I am a part of, a member of the body. Now, we've been processing this for months, if I'm honest with you. I'm wrestling with it. Like, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a member of the body? Looking for biblical guidance. We've written a position paper. It's in final edit right now. It's like 32 pages long. Wrestling with the text of what does the scripture say? And what we want to do this week is we want to introduce you into biblical active membership of a local church. Now, I say invite you into that because I think that's God's heart. And we want to steward what God is doing well. See, what's happening is we start to hear stories, just being gut level honest, stories of marriages that are in crisis. The frustrating part to me that makes me sad is by the time we hear, it's oftentimes too late. And I think to myself, what if those people were an active part of the body? What if those people were intimately connected? We may not be able to mitigate every issue, but could we certainly have a little early warning and be able to help people before it's too late? Yes. I hear stories of people who attend our church but are not connected in the body, who when tragedy strikes, literally have no one to call. And I think to myself, what an awful place to be, to attend a local church but have no one to call. I hear stories of folks that go through sickness and illness and can go in and out of the hospital without anyone ever knowing. And because we're a part of a church that's multi-site, multi-congregational, if you will, with multiple gatherings, and the average person doesn't attend every week, you literally could go weeks and not see anybody that's familiar. And so what happens is it's very difficult for a church to care for one another. And it's too easy to stay in the periphery. And what breaks my heart even more is I'll hear stories about people that have left our church. And to be honest with you, we didn't even know. Like I'll see people at the grocery store and we have that awkward moment where they see me and I see them, you know? And thankfully, it's usually not in the liquor aisle. That's the one that gets really weird. But anyway, I see them and they see me and they're like, oh, that's the pastor. And I know they recognize me and I kind of recognize them, but and you realize afterwards, I don't think I've seen that person in a year. And I wonder where they're at. And I wonder how they're doing. And you just can't care for people that way. It's not a healthy expression of the body. And I say that to our shame. This is not a shame on you message. This is a, hey, as a church, can we identify that? I don't think that's what God intended. And can we get back on track? So we want to invite one another in to what it means to be an active member within the body. And by inviting us in, what we mean is we want to show you what we think biblical membership looks like. And it's not what you think, so don't worry, we don't need your W-2. We don't necessarily need your social security number. All right, you can keep that. But we do want to show you, just in bullet point form, what we see the scripture calling you into. And when you came in, you were given one of these. I'd like to just walk you through the top portion. And what we're going to do is cover the top portion this week. But the thing about being an active member of the body is it goes both ways. It's not simply what we as individual followers of Jesus commit to. It's also what the leadership, elders, and staff commit to. We're going to cover that next week. But this week, I just want to walk you through the bullet points and maybe in some ways reassure you that when you hear what we're inviting you to be a part of as a part of this local body, it's nothing that's outside the scope of Orthodox Christian belief. First and foremost, here at this church, we want to commit ourselves to the mission and the movement of this church. What that means is we want to be on board with what this church is trying to accomplish. The mission of our church has not changed. We want to help people connect to God. We want to help people connect to one another, and we want to do that in every neighborhood. That's what it's been about forever. And we want to invite you to be a part of that because the mission of a local church is not the mission of the pastor or the mission of its board. It's the mission of its people. That's a shared mission that we're asking, inviting all of us to be a part of. And we want to invite you to believe the gospel. That's where it begins for us. Let's believe that Jesus is the Savior. Let's trust in him. Let's proclaim him. Let's believe the gospel. Second, we just want to affirm sound doctrine, that the Bible says what it means and means what it says. And even if it hurts, let's submit to the scriptures. We're living in a culture, as you know, that's jettisoning sound truth. And we just want to hold to the truth. We want to do so lovingly. We don't want to be cantankerous, but we want to contend for the faith. And so we want to affirm sound doctrine. Third, we want to attend the gatherings. Attendance to a local church is not, it's not a peripheral thing. It should be core to who we are as believers. Because as we assemble together as a means of grace within a local church, we experience what God intended in terms of community. We're encouraged together. We can pray for each other. We can challenge each other. We can stir one another on to love and good deeds. But if we don't attend, that can't happen. You can get great content online. You can get better preaching online. You can get good theology online. It's not about the content, it's the relationships. So we've said often, it's not so much about what you do, it's who you do it with. It's not even so much about what you hear, it's how you interact after you hear it. It's the iron sharpening iron. We want to invite you to attend the gatherings. We want to invite you to serve faithfully. I mean, Jesus himself said that he who wants to find his life will lose, and he who loses his life for his sake will find it. Paul, quoting Jesus, says it's better to give than receive. We want to invite you to serve faithfully. We want to invite you to give generously of your time, talents, and treasures, because Jesus invites you to do so. That's the calling of God, to be generous with who we are. We want to invite you to connect in community. This is a special invitation for those of you that are attenders, and I mean that term respectfully. A lot of folks come to church, but they've never been in a smaller pocket of community. I want to invite you to connect, because when you connect, spiritual growth is going to happen like never before. We want to invite you to grow in Christ's likeness. The gospel should have done a work in your life in salvation, and it should continually have a work in your life in sanctification. And if you find yourself having known Jesus for 20 years, but you're the same person today that you were 20 years ago, we've got a fundamental gospel problem, that I'm not convinced you fully understand the transforming work of Jesus Christ, because he promised that what he's begun in us, he will be faithful to complete. And he's promised that it's he who's at work in us to willing to work for his good pleasure. And he's promised that he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Which means if anyone's in Christ, we're new creatures, old things pass away, new things have come. We want to invite you into proclaiming Christ to others. To proclaim Christ. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The whole proclamation of Jesus is at the heart of what it means to be a believer. That's why Paul told the church of Colossae, he says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we might present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose we labor, striving according to his might that works within us. We want to invite you to proclaim Christ. And then finally, we want to invite you to submit, difficult word, submit to care and correction if and when necessary, which simply means this. If I stand up here and I tell you I'm a follower of Jesus, and yet you start seeing stuff in my life that's just not in keeping with the scriptures, you owe it to me in love to come talk to me. And that goes for all of us. The hope would be that, well, I'll tell you about a conversation I just had. I just had two conversations today. One, I had to apologize. Another, a buddy of mine had to apologize to me, because we're keeping short accounts together. Because it's not if we sin, it's when. And when we sin, if we confess to one another, there's forgiveness that comes with that. And so we both humbled ourselves and restored our relationship. That's what the body of Christ is. But there are times where our heart gets hard. And if and when our heart gets hard and we're in high-handed rebellion against God, we just want to commit together as part of the body that we'll submit to one another to care and correction if and when necessary. Now, there's nothing here that is outside the scope of Orthodox Christian belief. That's what a believer is. And we're just inviting one another to that in a more strategic and specific level. Three critical reminders. When we talk about active membership, and by the way, we've put active membership together at the top because this is not about becoming a member. This is about being an active member. There's a difference. Being an active member assumes that we're functioning within the body as God has called us to function. But three reminders. One is active membership is about participation, not entitlement. It's about participation, not entitlement. Second, it's about inclusion, not exclusion. This is an open invite for everybody. Come and be a part of this church at a deeper level. We invite you into that. Think of it this way. We are opening a door of intimacy that we are inviting everybody to come into, that we might experience love for one another, grace of God in a fresh way, that we might encourage one another and pray for one another and challenge one another in a whole new way. We want to invite you in. It's inclusive, not exclusive. We're not going to say to you, hey, do you want a cup of coffee? Well, are you a member? Because if you're not a member, we're not going to do that. That's not what this is. And then finally, third and final, this is about care, not control. Our campus pastors right now have a very hard time of figuring out who do they pursue and love and care and shepherd and pastor, because they're not sure who the active members of the body really are. This is ultimately a desire to care, not control. On a side note, some of you are here exploring the things of God, and I want you to know we deeply value anonymity, which means if you're exploring the gospel, don't worry about becoming an active member of anything. You just keep hearing the gospel. And when you're ready to trust in Jesus and you want to be a part of a local church body, we welcome you. Come, let's grow together. Come as you are, and let's allow Jesus to change us all. So we value anonymity. The thing that we struggle with, though, sometimes is as a church body, because we value anonymity, we have believers who are anonymous still and have been here forever. And that's okay if that's where you want to be, but I want you to know you're missing something. There's something deep inside that God would call you into that you'll never experience in isolation. To be an active member is to provide clarity. Clarity for our elders as to who they're responsible for. Clarity for our staff as to who they're to shepherd. Clarity with one another to know who are my brothers and who are my sisters. Who are the members of this body that we are functioning together for the glory of Christ? And you need to know, membership goes both ways. This isn't about the elders or our staff or me saying, hey, this is what you need to commit to. Because when we come next week and we talk about the reciprocal commitment, we're going to have to answer to God for the stewardship of this church. That's a sobering thing. And so we want to talk also about what we want to commit to as active members of this body as well. Can I give you a couple next steps and I'll pray for us and we'll let you talk about it a little bit? Next steps would simply be this. I would love to invite you to pray about this. Is this something that you say, man, that sounds great. I'd like to be a part of that. Well, great. But some of you might need to wrestle with it a little bit because we're inviting you into another level of intimacy. We're inviting you out of the shadows a little bit. We're inviting you out of the spectator seats a little bit. And as you become an active member, you need to know iron will sharpen iron. We will speak the truth to one another in love, like my buddy and I did before the gathering started. We're going to confess sin and hold each other accountable. We're going to walk with one another in love. And so I want you to pray about it. And in that, if you feel like the well is a community you would like to be an active member of, you'll notice at the bottom of that sheet there, you can fill out your information. And we're going to make this really easy. There's two tithe boxes by the back doors. And if it's something I'd like to be a part of that. I'd like to enter into a faith community, a local church at a deeper level. You can drop them into the boxes. And our campus pastors are going to follow up with you just to encourage you. Hey, we just want to connect. You know, the reality is you can go to this church for years and we never know your name. We'd like to change that. And the only way we change that is creating moments like this. And finally, I would suggest this. When it comes to a local church, I don't see anything scripturally that says you join a church. I think you submit to a church. You choose to say, this doctrine, these leaders, these people, I want to be a part of this. And by doing so, I actively submit to the authority of this church that God might use this place to expose sin and make me more like Jesus. Now, if you're a guest with us, don't put the cart before the horse. Faith in Jesus and believing the gospel comes first, so don't miss that. But if you've ever wondered, as a person who's maybe watching the people of God, if you've ever wondered why hypocrisy is so prevalent, one of the reasons, among many, is that we don't enter in together into community that holds each other lovingly to the scriptures. We would love to do that together. And so this is a new thing for us. This is something different, but this is something that we're hoping in this season of ministry can bring our church closer together, because we really long for that. And our elders really long for a clarity of knowing, Lord, who are we responsible for and who is under our care, and can we steward that and steward it well? When your marriage is struggling, we want to be able to help you. When crisis strikes, we want to be able to love you. If illness hits, we want to be able to walk with you. But if we don't know you, it's difficult to do that. So welcome to the well. We'd love for you to be an active part, an active member of this body. Let's pray and we'll worship. Father, I'm thankful that the invitation to follow Jesus is not passive, but you call us even out of our sin into the freedom of walking with Jesus, but in that into the community of believers baptized into one body, that we, Father, could find our gifts, could find our abilities, could find our passions and steward them within the body to find who you have made us to be, that we might find this community that you have created in the local church here at the well. Help, Father, those who long to have more of that community, more of that authenticity and relationship, to find it, Father, here as we seek to honor you for your glory and our good. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.